Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
B-Pod Studios.
Zolak and Bertrand. Sports talk in the middle of the day.
You know what's hilarious about it, Scott? I could act like I know what I'm talking about.
That's what probably we do every day.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand here at the start of the 1 o'clock hour on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Obviously talking quite a bit about the NFL draft today and the Patriots draft. We go to the Volkswagen dealers expert hotline to bring in what I think is easily an expert on Mac Jones, former Alabama offensive coordinator and current head coach of the Texas Longhorns. It's Steve Sarkisian who joins us. Coach, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Excuse me, doing well, Coach. Thanks for taking the time to sort of give us a background on, you know, what kind of quarterback we're getting here in New England. You know, we had sort of the same guy for 20 years, and, you know, we drafted this kid number one, 15th pick. What do you like about Mac Jones as a player? What's his best trait?
Well, I think his preparation is really his best trait. I know there's a lot that goes into it, but I think for Mac, having spent 4 years in college at the University of Alabama, I think he really learned the value of preparation. And through his preparation, he was able to go out and perform at a high level.
So, Steve, there's plenty of pre-draft evaluations and scouts talking many times anonymously, but they would say and have said Mac Jones, physically not elite, but also, in addition to that, he had great players around him that made him look better. What do you say in response to that, being a part of coaching him and coaching that offense that made him worthy of being drafted in the first round by Bill Belichick?
Well, I think a lot of times through his preparation, he made some things that are difficult for others, he made them appear really easy. He got the ball out on time. He set his protections the right way so that he wasn't getting hit. He knew where to get rid of the ball if we didn't get an advantageous look. And he got the ball to guys to in a catchable manner to where they could catch it and do something with it. And I think that's what great quarterbacks do. And clearly you guys had the best ever there in Tom Brady. And I think very similar to him in that, you know, he allowed the guys around him to play at a high level. And I think that's what good quarterbacks do. And you can go back to the Joe Montanas of the world. But the reality of it is a really good quarterback puts the other guys around him in a really good position to have success.
Sark, when I played initially in the league, I had the Norv Turner offensive scheme implemented. You know, it's a split right, scat right. Then, you know, under Parcells, we went to the Ron Earhart, the zero out slot stuff. From a terminology standpoint with Mac, did you guys run something similar? Was there West Coast concepts? What was the terminology at Alabama?
You know,
without giving the state secrets,
it was a little bit of a mixed bag. You have to think back to our days at Alabama. It started with Jim McElwain. It went to Doug Nussmeier.
Okay.
Then it went to Lane Kiffin. Then it went to Brian Daboll. Then it went to Mike Loxley. Then it came to me. So there's a lot of smart guys in that room that brought different nuances to the system. There's a little bit of a New England feel to it, actually, with Daboll coming in from New England. There's an element of kind of the West Coast offense and things that we brought. You know, when I came back from Atlanta, I was following Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta. So there's some of that terminology. So I would say it's its own terminology in essence. But there's a lot of football in that system that I think Mac was lucky to have learned.
Well, much has been made over the years with quarterbacks in New England, you know, playing behind Brady, how fast a guy could pick up the system. And a lot of that was talked about last year with Cam Newton. How fast could he pick up the system? In your mind, is Mac Jones capable of picking up new terminology and a new offense quickly?
Well, I think he's a very bright guy. Mac, you know, again, he He's a bright mind just in general, but I think he works at the game of football. He studies it. He's the guy that, you know, you have two or three plays in the game plan that you don't have a great answer for if they do this one thing, but the numbers tell you they aren't going to do it. You don't bring it up, and the next morning he walks right in. He says, all right, now what are we going to do if they do X, Y, and Z? And you're like, I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that question. But, you know, he's that guy. He's the guy that studies the game plan and is going to know it inside and out. And I liken him to, you know, from a mental standpoint, you know, I had a chance. I coached Matt Castle for three of his 4 years in college. And when Matt got to New England, I think it was the same way. He really dove in. He knew what the plan was. He prepared really well, and he got that opportunity that year and played at a pretty high level. So I think Mac Jones is going to be similar in a sense of he's not going to not know what Coach McDaniels and Coach Belichick want to do in the game. He's going to have a real sense of preparation, and then ultimately then it's at that point you got to go out and perform.
When Tua went down, it would seem pretty seamless, you know, when he took over and you guys got hot. Were you guys shocked as a staff, or do you expect, you know, when Tua went down with that awful injury that, you know, Matt could really handle the pressure of playing quarterback at Alabama and do it at a high level?
Well, you know, our big question mark was just how he was going to handle the adversity. I wasn't questioning what if he would know what to do. But like every game, the adversity strikes, whether you can't block the three technique, maybe you turn the ball over. I learned a lot about Mac against Auburn that year in the Iron Bowl at Auburn. He had a couple unfortunate, you know, plays. He one missed throw, they returned it for a touchdown. One, the ball bounces off Najee Harris's back, and their guy catches it and returns it 100 yards for a touchdown. But in that game, both times that happened, he bounced right back. We went right down the field and scored. We had a hard time blocking Derrick Brown. It was a heck of a defensive lineman. He took some real hits. The ball was coming out. He stood in the pocket. So I learned a lot about him in that game, in his ability to kind of withstand the adversity that football presents a quarterback in game. And at that point, it was like, okay, we got something here. He went and beat Michigan in the bowl game, and then just kind of just launch padded him into the next season.
We're talking with Steve Sarkisian. Steve, you've coached a lot of guys at quarterback that have gone on to have NFL careers. You just mentioned one of them in Matt Castle. When you're talking about Mac Jones, what does he have to do to have a career that might be closer to what Carson Palmer did in the NFL versus someone like Jake Locker? Both high draft picks, but sort of went down different paths once they made it into the league.
Well, you know, I think one is staying healthy. And I think, you know, really, you know, there's a lot of value in not getting hit. And how do you not get hit? You know your protections. You know where your issues are. You know how to get the ball out. You know how to change that protection to get the protection needed based on the look that you're getting. Two, you know where your checkdowns are. You're not stuck patting the ball when things aren't there. You have the ability to check the ball down. And then three, taking advantage of the opportunities when they present themselves. You're prepared so well, you know why you have an alert on this play. If you get the look, go cut it loose. And I think Mac possesses the ability to do all those things, but ultimately now it's time to apply it at the National Football League level.
And obviously you had a lot of talent around him too. I'm going to ask you a question about Devontae Smith real quick. A lot of people said he's too small to play at the next level, 165. It's not like you guys played small competition in the SEC. How good is he going to be at the next level? Do you think?
I think he's going to be a really good player. You know, the one thing about Devontae, you know, he was a gunner for four straight years for us on the punt team. So I think that just puts a little value in the type of mentality that he has. You know, he wanted to be on that team even when he became a frontline player. He wanted to be on that team and run down and make tackles. He actually every week would practice at corner for us. He was our emergency corner on defense. So I think, again, that speaks to his mentality, the physical nature that he brought to the game. And then lastly, he's a really smart player. And the results were you knew what you were going to get with Devontae every week. He was steady Eddie. He knew exactly what he was going to get. He was going to know the game plan as good as the quarterbacks did. He knew where the ball should go based on the coverage we were getting. And then ultimately, the competitive nature that he had, he made plays. And at the end of the day, we're in a production-based business. You got to make your plays when the opportunities present themselves, and he did it week in and week out.
Steve, you're talking about guys here that were high draft picks that you coached. How involved as a coordinator. I know you're the head coach now at Texas, but were you getting calls from coaching staff, personnel guys throughout the league during the draft process this year?
Yeah, we got a lot of calls. Probably didn't return enough of them. I mean, we got a full-time gig going here that we're trying to get off the ground on. So, but there was a lot of calls, a lot of interest. You know, I commend the NFL and the organizations for really doing their homework, because I think these guys, in this day and age with COVID and the different approach they had to take to the draft, I think they had to rely on us some. There weren't as many in-person interviews. There weren't as many in-person workouts or individual workouts. And I think there was a lot of value placed in us as coaches and trust in our opinion. And I think you earn their trust by giving them honest feedback. And that's what we try to do, you know, every year the draft comes around.
Yeah, I played under Parcells, and then I played under Pete Carroll. Two totally different coaching styles. I know you're under Pete, and you worked under Saban. How much do you think playing under Nick Saban and sort of that iron fist that he sort of rules with will help Mac, you know, as he gets under Coach Belichick here?
Well, I think, you know, everybody's personality is different. You know, I think some guys can relate better to a Pete Carroll style coaching system to a Nick Saban. I think everybody, you know, we had a heck of a run in the 2000s at SC, and a lot of those guys on to play in the NFL and had success. And I do think there is something to be said for the discipline that Coach Saban ran organization, that those players have to adhere to on and off the field. And for Mac, especially going to New England and with Coach Belichick, I think the transition will be a little bit easier for him going from that organization to the Patriots, just because of, I think there'll be some carryover, some similarities, and similar coaching styles.
You excited to hit the ground running in Texas? A lot of miles to travel and all those quarterbacks all over that state.
Yeah, we're loving it. It's been a great process so far. We've got our work to do and we've got our work cut out for us. But in the end, we've got a really willing roster. We've got a pretty quality roster. We've got to continue to recruit just like at any level. I mean, you know, it's about the Jimmys and the Joes as much as it is about the X's and O's. So we got to recruit really well and make sure we're putting our guys in position to have success.
No, I know he was on the other side of the ball, but the Patriots also drafted Christian Barmore in this draft. What can you tell us about him?
Dynamic pass rusher. He was always a problem when he knew it was a pass. He was a disruptive player, attacking style player. I thought he really got better and matured throughout his time at Alabama and really the second half of his last season. I mean, he was a dominant force for us late in the year on the defensive side of the ball.
All right, one more Mac Jones question for you. If needed, is he capable in your mind of starting week one this NFL season?
Yeah, I've been on record in saying this. I honestly think he's probably the most qualified rookie quarterback to start in year one. I think he's been exposed to a lot. I think him being in school for 4 years and then putting in that time and having to persevere and wait his turn behind a Jalen Hurts, behind a Tua, and then he got his opportunity. He made the most of it. I think he's seen a lot from the defensive side of the ball, whether it was at practice or in game, and he had to compete at a really high level in the SEC. I mean, the 1 year he started, we played an all SEC schedule with Notre Dame and with Ohio State on top of that. So I think he's in a great position to go and compete. And then, like I've said earlier, now it's time to perform. You got to put in the work and you know, you got to let your play speak for itself.
Steve, appreciate your time today. Really thankful that we could get you on the phone, and best of luck this season and getting back to normal and having a full year.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
All right, Steve Sarkisian joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Now the head coach at Texas. He was the offensive coordinator for the last two seasons at Alabama and obviously has some insider knowledge of Mac Jones. Interesting there at the end. Thinks he's the most ready rookie quarterback in the draft class.
Now, to start now, year one. That's interesting. And Paulie's going to be very excited because he has to find now Sam Ellinger's replacement. Now, it's Paulie's guy down here at Texas.
Sam Ellinger, who went in the seventh round, correct?
Yeah.
Seventh? He was a seventh round pick?
Sixth or seventh. Yeah.
It may have been sixth, but it was late.
It was late.
It was late. It was very late pick. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Our thanks again to Steve Sarkisian. Good interview with him. We'll get back to your calls. Today's takeaways later in the hour. Don't go anywhere.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. There we go. No match for a little... Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel. More duct tape, a hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Sales.
Zoe and Beetle. You up to date at work.
Rose.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you'd know it if
you'd
smelled it.
You'd know it if you smelled it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, one more Mac Jones question for you. If needed, is he capable in your mind of starting week one this NFL season?
Yeah, I've been on record in saying this. I honestly think he's probably the most qualified rookie quarterback to start in year one. I think he's been exposed to a lot. I think him being in school for 4 years and then putting in that time and having to persevere and wait his turn behind a Jalen Hurts, behind a Tua, and then he got his opportunity. He made the most of it. I think he's seen a lot from the defensive side of the ball, whether it was at practice or in game, and he had to compete at a really high level in the SEC. I mean, the 1 year he started, we played an all-SEC schedule, with Notre Dame and with Ohio State on top of that. So I think he's in a great position to go and compete. And then like I've said earlier, now it's time to perform. You got to put in the work and you know, you got to let your play speak for itself.
If you were to shoot this rejoin song to the moon and it never come back, I'd be okay with it.
It would come back on the boomerang of it.
Nothing against the song. It's just this start of this song. 617-779-0985. That's Steve Sarkisian. He's the now head coach at Texas, but he was the OC at Alabama.
He did say something interesting there as far as the schedule. People forget, you know, you didn't have your four cupcakes outside the conference that usually pad it with, you know, Georgia Southern or someone that comes in and you get a quick win.
Right.
Get you to 4-0 to start the year. It's all SEC. And then you stack Notre Dame, who had a really good year, and of course Ohio State on top of it. And then the kid played at the end of last year after Tua got hurt. He's had some good competition. He really has. And the growth and the maturity that he had showed to sit and wait and act when the time came. And
yeah, I mean, ready. There's a lot of rah-rah coaching bullcrap there with him. But
he still had to perform. Like, again, I go back to the stuff I watched with Warner, like the high angle tight throws that this kid made.
Yeah.
That's where he's going to have to really be that guy at the next level, because that's 80% of your throws. It's not the 20% that you make in college in tight windows, because everybody else is running wide open when you kicked ass. Guys aren't running by anybody here, and especially these two receivers with Bourne and Aguilar. And that's why Mike wrote that column, Mike Reese. Like a little more speed on the outside. You know, they just want some big bodies.
Did you guys see the text we all got from Jim Louth today?
Did not.
On a comparison that's been made with Mac Jones and a former NFL quarterback? Ew. He's disgusted by it.
I'm not disgusted by it either.
I'm not disgusted by this. Let me tell you what Bert Breer tweeted this morning. He said, a few scouts gave me a fascinating comp on new Patriots quarterback Mac Jones that I actually think is perfect, he wrote. Chad Pennington. Both very smart, very accurate, strong leaders, and winners. And they were drafted in the same range. And even wear the same number. Oh, cute. What do you make of that? Chad Pennington. If he's Chad Pennington, are you okay with that?
Right now, yeah.
Is he Chad Pennington pre-noodle arm or post-noodle arm?
I don't look at
I ask.
The ooh, I think Jim is like the pop gun arm that he had at the end, and he had to really like lob the ball and lay it, and it was laborsome, and it looked terrible. I think the pre-Chad Pennington. I think Pennington was a good, I don't want to say, was he Alaska quarterback the Jets had? Yeah.
I mean, Pennington had a torn labrum and torn rotator cuff.
Yeah, he was shot.
And he was
shot.
Never the same. He couldn't throw the football. And he would still throw these lollipops that would fall in between two defenders that, as a Patriots fan, would drive you insane.
Good anticipatory throws.
Yes.
He would know where the guy was going to be, and he would throw it before he came out of the break.
He adjusted and made up for it
and
with
he
his
had good
brain.
Route runners. Yeah.
I liked Chad Pennington. I would be happy with Chad Pennington right now.
It would be. We're moving in the right direction. Yes,
we're trending upward.
Yeah,
I wouldn't give it the ew. And Louth gives it.
Louth remembers the late Chad Pennington. That's why.
Yeah, well, I mean, that wasn't great.
No, wasn't great.
617-779-0985. Paulie is in the truck. His ears are burning. Paulie.
Hey, boys. I hung out with Pennington, but with him, Nick Mangold, and Jay Bezos. That's it.
Where the hell were you guys all hanging out?
Where's that, at Gold's Gym? Yeah, were you working out?
No, when I walked into the, when I was hanging out with you, so when I first walked into the hotel in Atlanta, first person I saw was you, walked over to you.
Yeah, that Wendy's
guy.
JB
and Mangold and Pennington. Pennington's a real nice guy. Pennington's a linebacker. My God, is he huge. I said, my God, you look a lot bigger than you looked on the field.
You're
a linebacker. But a great guy. Why didn't you ask him about Ellinger? He's going to give you a good rundown on Ellinger. I don't like this comparison.
He's a coach. Coach Ellinger, you dingbat.
He's nothing like Tim Tebow. His arm is much stronger.
He's the new quarterback.
He would have been a coach in Texas. Quarterback.
Quick hook.
Larry.
Uninformed call.
Spreading misinformation.
We don't do that on this program.
We're all about the truth.
That's right.
We're all about searching for truth. Chad.
Well, ask him about Ellinger. Well, I wished him luck.
I don't know the guy.
I didn't coach him.
How'd you like coaching Ellinger? I didn't coach Ellinger. I'm the coach here now. Ellinger's gone.
Yeah.
Chad's in New Hampshire. Hey, Chad.
Yeah, I know.
This is for you. I was not a fan of Cam Newton coming to town last year. I feel like the Patriots as a whole had a lot of issues everywhere with a lot of people leaving. Do you feel like even if Brady had stayed, do you think there would have been, you know, a better season, or do you still think it would have been atrocious?
Would have been a better season, but not by much.
My second question is on Jarrett Stidham. In 2019 preseason, he went 61 of 90 for over 700 yards with a 7-1 interception touchdown to interception ratio, which is the best out of any rookie quarterback for the New England Patriots in the last 20 years. Do you think that bringing in Cam Newton kind of intimidated him a little bit?
Where are those stats from?
Where did you see the 7 touchdowns?
That's
Are you on a motorboat?
Okay, Chad. Bye.
I don't.
Where are the stats from? Are they his college stats? What are we? 7-1 ratio, he said. That's got to be college numbers.
He said preseason, he said.
Oh, preseason. Yeah. Preseason stats. Give me a break.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? Sean and Randolph. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. Just a quick comment, and then I'm going to hang up and listen for your take. Why have the Patriots not signed any undrafted free agents this year?
It's a good question.
Great question.
And you know what? It's one that's going to be debated by scholars for many, many years. There's a few theories on this. One is the number of guys that declared for the draft this year was about a third of what it normally is. Two-thirds of the eligible players did not declare and enter the draft. So the talent pool is much, much smaller. So there's that element of it. The other part is, you look at the Patriots roster right now, and there's a lot of depth and a lot of guys here. It could also be
they're going to have to sign some bodies on defense. You have to get some corners come in here. And that could be second-year guys that are still out there in the market. Doesn't have to be rookies. But they have always found that one rookie free agent that would make the football team. One guy does it. I think he's done it the last 3 years. Even going back to Malcolm Butler. They do a pretty good job with finding at least one of those guys, the Gunnar Olszewski of the world, you know?
Yeah, it could also be that with COVID rules, the rookie minicamp can happen, and you can have up to 5 players come in on a tryout basis.
Yeah.
It's limited to 5. Maybe they're waiting to get a good look at, you know, when you're down in the undrafted free, especially when it's a limited pool of players, it's not as good of a talent pool as normal. Maybe they want to see guys in person.
Yeah.
And have them in. And yeah, does that mean you might be losing out? Yeah, maybe. Maybe you'll lose out on some undrafted free agents.
They could have four kickers in for a workout, for all you know. I mean,
yeah. I mean, it's. I think it's a combination of just the talent pool being smaller this year and addressing a lot of those needs already in free agency. You don't need necessarily to go out and get undrafted guys when you've already done a lot of work this year.
1,932 players declared for the draft last year. That's 1,932. This year, 657.
Yeah. Mm.
Huge drop off in talent. So that could be it. Maybe he's just saying, I don't want these guys. I don't think there's anybody out there worth signing right now. Next year. Next year is the year.
Bill's not just
going
to sign somebody to sign him.
I would agree with that.
Waste his time and your time.
So we'll see what goes on. See what happens. They don't want to waste money on it either. I know you say, what do you mean? Undrafted free agent deals. There's very little money involved. True. But they just spent a boatload in free agency, and maybe they just want to make sure they spend it as wisely as possible. At the end of the day, there are real budgets, real dollars.
Busy getting macro shirts made for him now.
What's that?
Macro. Yeah, they're too busy.
Oh my God.
They're too busy with the tailor.
Get them in a shirt.
Let's someone get him to a shirt tailor and get a shirt that fits.
Matt
he looks like Beaker from the Muppets.
Mac Jones has been playing video games. We'll get to that. Also, I want to know if anybody here who we work with is willing to get a tattoo of the Sports Hub logo.
Not me.
I'll explain that next as well. Don't go anywhere.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot. Hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it. Wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel. More duct tape, a hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
What do I?
I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.617-779-0985. Mac Jones. Drafted by the Patriots on Thursday night in the first round. I don't know if you know this, but he apparently dabbles in Madden. He tweeted it last night, getting some Madden 21 in with the Patriots.
Paid advertisement?
Yes, of course. Hashtag EA Athlete. Oh, sitting EA Athlete, very close to the television. It could hurt your eyes.
So you can't see.
Yep. Playing football with the Patriots, it appears, but playing against, because you could tell by the giant logo in the middle of the field in the quick video, playing against the Buccaneers.
Raymond James Stadium.
At Raymond James Stadium. Do you think that was by accident, or
They really wanted to fluff it up, they should have done it at Gillette, because Tampa comes here next year, and they could have put him in, you know.
But it wouldn't have, but hold on, Zoe. If they had done that, it wouldn't have been obvious who he was playing.
Oh, God. Are we going to do this thing again in camp where he's going to show up and he's going to be like number 55 or 5 or something? Yeah, they have to earn their numbers.
Oh, that's a good question. Are they going to make Mac Jones wear a stupid number in training camp?
68. Well, he'd be 1, right, for the first pick.
I don't think they're going to do that.
15, because he's the 15th pick. I think you'd wear what pick you have, right?
What pick you were?
I don't recall.
I don't know. Whatever.
So Mac Jones was playing Madden, and if it were at Gillette, it wouldn't be obvious that he was playing the Bucs in the video game, which makes me think it may be a plant. May have been done on purpose.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You always, but when you play the team you're playing, you're gonna play like the Super Bowl champ. You know what I mean? Like, it was another kid playing.
Maybe.
You know, if he got drafted by the Steelers, it would be Steelers versus Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I think we're putting too much stock into that one single game.
Here's the story I wanted to tell you, though, not related to football, but related to radio.
Oh.
A St. Louis DJ, this is from the New York Post, over the weekend, a St. Louis DJ learned the hard way that tattoos are forever, but jobs are not. less than a week after getting his station's logo tattooed on his arm.
Well, that's his problem, first and foremost.
WIL country music jock Mason Schrader got a tattoo of his station's logo, WIL.
WIL.
On his arm last month.
On his arm.
And less than a week later was laid off. Schrader was half of the morning drive show Mason and Remy with Zachary Hosley. He took to Twitter to announce his departure from the show with a photo of him featuring his new tattoo with the note, "Ha ha 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 ha, million ha ha's, I just got fired." To make matters worse, he was hired as part of a duo in 2018, and the other half of the duo is staying, keeping his job. So they did not blow out the show. They just got rid of an individual host.
It's like the rotating host
on Midday right here on the Sports Hub.
Right.
He got hired there in 2018, and he got the logo. And by the way, when I told T-Bone the story, he was imagining a guy who was just into tattoos and had a million tattoos.
So it's like just a regular, normal guy.
This guy's arm was completely bare outside of the one radio station tattoo.
This is his worst decision in his life. One of the dumbest things you can do.
So my question would be, is anyone here willing to get a 98.5 The Sports Hub tattoo?
I don't even put my wife's name or my kid's
name.
Way
ahead of you.
If you had to place a bet on who would do
Murray.
That, it'd be have to be Murray because he's a big tat guy.
Yeah, but he likes that. There's nothing wrong with tattoos. But that's the guy that would get one.
Like all three of us, we are all day one employees.
Murray wouldn't get it because he's a cynic. He would say, I'm not going to permanently put that on me.
We have all worked here since day one.
Yeah.
Nearly 12 years now.
Yep.
We are all personally invested in the success of the station. I can't imagine putting that logo in a tattoo.
I would not do it.
I really can't.
I wouldn't even do it if it was hidden. Like on my ass. Or down here. You know, like
where's your groin?
You
know, in your groin.
Right there.
You wouldn't even put a Sports Up tattoo on your groin.
No. Because every time I see that logo, and this has happened since day one, I think of the 98.5.
The Sports.
If that never came to be or never was, then maybe, no. I'm still.
Well,
wouldn't put a Patriots tattoo.
I don't know if you recall, but this logo of ours, which you see in our studio behind, doesn't really show up on TV anymore because we have the individual shots, but the big logo. Fowler, put the big logo up. I put the big logo on there. The big logo, there it is not the original. That's sort of a modified one from the original. The original had this big globe. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And inside the globe was the Boston skyline.
Yeah.
I think if someone's going to go for the tattoo, they got to go for the globe logo.
Right.
The original Sports Hub logo.
All right, I'll do it.
Will you do it?
No.
Someone on Twitter has offered us that he will get the tattoo for a paid internship.
Okay. I'm good. I'm in.
Can we arrange for that?
Yeah. I mean, is Tyler a paid intern now?
Jeff Williams, who does work here, says he will do it.
Who's Jeff Williams?
Again, who's Jeff Williams? Jeff.
The guy you didn't know last time.
Jeff.
The singer?
Jeff Williams says he will do it.
Yep.
You're Jimmy's brother, the singer. Sing something for me.
Sings like an angel.
These eyes, I cry.
So we work here, so it's a little weird, but you know there are 98.5 The Sports Hub hardcores that might do it as a fan.
Paulie would do it.
Like, does Paulie want to do the tattoo?
But what are you going to give Paulie for getting the tattoo? Nothing?
Nothing. We'll just want to see it.
We'll get him
just fame.
An extra 30 seconds on his car.
Get him a Counting Crows CD or something.
Maybe we should organize some sort of special number, VIP number for those who get the Sports Hub tattoo.
Chicken Boston?
Like it's a club. I don't know that he's loyal enough to us as a station.
I know. That's what I heard.
Not only do they get a special number, Beetle, I think you have to get cleared through us before you get the tattoo, and then we will number your tattoos also. So if there end up being hundreds of people with a Sports Hub tattoo, it's like mine's actually officially sanctioned by the station. I was number 17 overall.
Josh in the mail truck, frequent listener, extremely loyal to us, says he will do it.
What if I did the tattoo work? Just give me the tattoo.
No, I don't think that's what they want.
I'm an artist.
Have you ever done a tattoo, though?
No, but I mean, like, I'd like to, that'd be my, if I was ever going to do one, that would be, like, that'd be my gig. I'd like that.
Don't you think you should start on something else, maybe a little less complex?
Why don't you bring your dog in?
Stop bringing up the dogs.
How's your dog been?
My dog's been fine.
That's great.
She's got some training that will start this week.
He's talked to Terry?
He said, I'll break her.
No, but I'm going to.
He said, I'll break her. Why don't I have Bentley come over? Why don't you just take Bentley for a week? And you can just follow Bentley around.
No, I have a dog. I don't need two.
Yeah, I know. But that's the one thing we notice is when one dog was getting ready to die.
Oh, jeez. Here we go with dead dogs again.
No, but we knew Lily
Stop
was
doing
like
this.
Heading out. But when heading we got out. Bentley, Bentley was a puppy and would follow her around.
Yeah.
And she sort of, when she would go,
you learn how to be a dog.
But Bentley's not moving in. So that doesn't help because Bentley will then eventually go home.
Right.
I get the whole pack mentality thing, but it's got to be for more than, you know, Bentley.
Because he ain't going to run away. I'm just like, you could put him out in the yard with him and he's just going to go out and come back in.
I see the size of the dumps that the puppy takes. Ooh. I can't imagine what Bentley's pushing out over there.
That's not good. And of course, I'm the
Bentley's
one,
a big boy.
I'm the only one who can pick him up because everybody else is so grossed out by it. The ones that wanted the dog. Everybody that wanted the dog said, Dad, we'll do everything for the dog.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't hold up.
Just like yours, I'm sure.
Bruins Luchador says he's in for a tattoo.
Oh, he's in. He's always in.
I mean, people
How's his are, car? How's his truck?
Fine.
How's his truck is?
People are saying this, that they are in for the tattoo. Let's do it. Let's see that.
Let's get Kelly Anderson working on it.
Let's see that. Let's see your
head of promotions, right? We'll get this done. Louth could brainstorm
Someone
something
just here. Said, when you started talking serial numbers, Hardy, I think it spurred this thought. Matt said, we need NFTs, non-fungible tattoos.
Yes, something like that.
Serial number.
Mm. Oh, you got a Sports Hub tattoo? Yeah, it's one of a series. They only allowed 500 of us to get a tattoo.
I saw Livshatz tweeted something. He finally got paid after 2 weeks for his NBA stuff. His Top Shot.
Yeah.
Maybe Zoe can then sign his name in a Sharpie under your tattoo, and then you can get that tattooed on.
We can just draw on your forehead with a Sharpie. Hold him down.
Someone just tweeted me the original Globe logo. There's few traces of it on the internet.
That's so bad.
It's the Globe. I think it would look great as a tattoo.
It would.
A little bit of a Boston theme, a little bit of a Sports Hub theme.
Isn't that the one that one of our sales guys took out an unsanctioned ad in a local newspaper? And he appeared to be holding the Globe up in one hand and said, for advertising, call this number.
Was it Moscatel? That sounds like a Moscatel.
I don't
special.
Remember 617 which person it was.
617-359 Adam. Give him a call.
He was holding up the Sports Hub Globe in his hand for advertising. Call me and me alone. Don't you dare call the main number or any other salesperson.
Why was that looked down upon? That is so brilliant.
I thought it was clever. Not entirely the way things are done, but good for him.
No.
I think it's going to happen.
I think
people are going to get the Sports Hub tattoos now.
Jesus.
What?
I don't know. What about our logo? A big microphone.
That's a good one, too.
That is a nice one.
No, the headshot of you guys.
Shut up. I actually like our logo better than the Sports Hub logo.
They're both pretty good. I mean, I don't think either one is a bad logo.
They're not bad. I mean, it's not bad. I can't stop looking at it and thinking.
98.
It's the first part. It's the 90.
Christian in Boston. Hey, Christian.
Hey, what's up, man? How you guys doing?
Good.
I would definitely get that tattoo for paid internship. I listen every day and...
How would you help? I want to ask you a question. How would you help make our show better? This could be like an interview, you know?
Okay, how can I make it better? I got a lot of insight on mostly everything, you know what I mean? I listen to almost every podcast that has to do with the Celtics and the Patriots.
What should the Bruins do with David Krejci after this year?
Get rid of him, obviously.
There you go. Quick answer. He knew what he was doing. Yeah.
Sip on me another one.
Okay.
Wow. How do you handle the goalie situation next year?
Oh, would you? Go ahead.
How would I handle the goalie situation?
Yes.
I mean, looking at it now, Rask hasn't been too reliable, so why won't you just go with the kid?
Okay, he's a Swayman guy. Not Vladar, right? You would say Swayman, right?
Yeah, not Vlada. What did he let in? 7 goals one game?
What about Halak?
Let me ask you a more pertinent question. Do you know how to operate a landline telephone?
Of course, yeah.
Okay, then you're hired.
Do you know how to run a board?
You're in.
Didn't seem like anybody in a morning show can.
98.5 The Sports Hub!
Oh, my God.
Why did we ever do that? I mean, it's not forgettable, and it stays with you.
98.5 The Sports Hub!
Remember when we were in that conference room, like, oh, that's very good. That's the guy from Survivor, because it's the
Eye of the Tiger. It made me think, how is it that our former boss, Mike Thomas, does not have a Sports Hub tattoo by now?
He hates us.
Well, he doesn't have any more room. He's got, you know, like the fir tree on one
tree,
side and the palm tree on the other.
The tree was a keeper.
It's like a yin and yang.
He's a tat guy.
Yeah.
He should have it.
What was the tree done for?
He likes trees. I'm not sure.
I'm going to text him and say, we've decided that you should get a Sports Hub tattoo.
He should.
It really probably go over really well with this current crew.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In the pantheon of short-sighted
standpoint.
Tattoos, that guy getting the radio station tattooed on his body, where does that rank? Is that up there with Lisa Left Eye Lopez getting Andre Rison's number tattooed on her arm?
Well, she then burned his house down. So
she got even. I think she got the last laugh in that one.
Did she go to jail for that?
Did you see the size of that house she burned up?
Well, she's dead. She died in a car accident.
Shut up!
Left Eye?
Dead. Yeah, we did this.
Like 2 decades ago.
We did this like TLC songs, like greatest hits. Like they got a lot of them.
Why don't you give me a little Kenny rendition of Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls, though?
Is that TLC? The Rainbow Just Another Day?
That Kenny from Meet the Millers?
Yeah.
Or We're the Millers?
Yep.
Just the breakdown.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
What's the rap
they
part?
They give.
How about I do the headline? How about I do today's takeaways instead?
I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news.
Seeing the rainbow
every
just the other day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
Hey.
Now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Solak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Stop. Let's see.
Stop. All right, it's time for today's takeaways, brought to you by Wake 180 Weight Loss, the proven weight loss program combining science, coaching, and nutrition. Receive weekly guidance and customization to ensure success each and every week until reaching your goal.
Jeff Williams tweeted out a picture of you with the graphic that says, "Welcome, Jeff Williams," on the monitor, and you're like this, sort of giving it to Vanna White. The day we welcomed him to the Sports Hub. All right, what do we got there, T-Bone? What do we have?
What's up, Jeff?
A couple of humble brags from
Zoe today.
Mm. What? Sark, when I played initially in the league, I had the North Turner offensive scheme. Yeah, I played under Parcells, and then I played under Pete Carroll. Two totally different coaching styles.
That's the we got a football guy on. Coach, got to let him know.
Well, I want to know his take on players.
Yeah, like, why would you be asking me this? Talking to a couple of yahoos here. I'm
because I knew it was like night and day. I wanted to see if he thought it was like night and day.
In case you don't know who you're speaking with here, Sark, this is former NFL quarterback Scott Zola.
Yeah, that's
not the other one.
Yeah, he started talking about three. See, after that, that's Hardy. When he started talking about he's going to know, checking him down, or what are we going to do to complement this? We're going to block that three technique, you know?
I thought it was a good question.
Thank you.
It was. The one about terminology was very good.
Yeah.
And I mean,
that's crucial. That's going to be his biggest holdback.
I think that may have been one of his least revealing or weakest answers of the interview, though.
He didn't
it was
give
a great
it.
Question. He wouldn't give it up.
He didn't give it. Do you know who Mac Jones has been meeting with?
Who?
Billy O'Brien. To teach him the Alabama offense, which tells me he's not running what Billy ran and what Billy ran here. So it's something different than what he's going to be introduced to here. Josh is very, Josh and Billy call the plays the same way that Charlie did. It's the Ron Earhart system. And from a terminology standpoint, my biggest, the easiest thing for me was coming into the league. We ran the same offense in college that, split right, scat right. It was North Turner in college at Maryland. So we ran a pro-style passing offense at Maryland. Seemed to have all offense my rookie year. So I went out drinking every night. I got to study for it. I got it.
All right. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Yes,
what do you say?
Will.
And don't forget, we get another pair of Genesis tickets to give away. We're doing that all week long, every day at 11:50. So you want to be here for that? You also want to be here for Fel Grimes. They're coming your way next. Have a great afternoon. 98.5
The Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.